You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
For those of you who don't know, I taught preaching here for 9 years, and I just went back into the local church and this past summer, and I'm loving it, having a great time. I miss the camaraderie. I miss working with students, but I'm where the Lord wants me to be, and it's an honor to get to come back and preach in chapel, and I thank you for being here today. I want us to take a journey today, a journey in time and a journey in place. The time I want us to go to is the first century, towards the end of it. And the place that I want us to go to is a little island in the middle of the Aegean Sea. It's called Patmos. And it's as if God took, 10 or 12 of those so-called hills from the hill country of Texas that are basically covered with rock and mesquite bushes and cedar trees and kind of a barren landscape. He took those hills out of the hill country of Texas and dropped it right in the middle of a blue, turquoise, beautiful sea. And that's where the Apostle John was exiled. Tradition has it that he lived in a house next to a cave, and of course, tradition says that that's where John later received the vision that became the last book in our Bible. But I'd like for us today to pay a visit to the Apostle John and perhaps ask him to tell us a little bit about just what Brandon got through singing about, those days leading up to the crucifixion, the hours that he spent with Christ. And perhaps he will just tell us a little bit about that. So if you would, come with me to the first century, the island of Patmos. And let's visit the Apostle John. Yes, come in, yes, sit where you can. It's always good to have visitors. Is that your ship in the harbor? Yes, please sit down. Perchance, did you come from Ephesus?
No,
that's okay. Not everyone comes from Ephesus. Many do because it's such a large city. But I asked because I used to pastor a church there, and I always like to hear of things from the city, and perhaps you knew of someone that I knew. In fact, I was just about to write a letter to someone in Ephesus. His name is Gaius.
I'll be happy to tell you about that. I'm always glad to tell people about my time with the Savior. Is there anything in particular you would like to hear? Those are pretty intense days. Perhaps if you don't mind, rather than me tell you about it, could I read something to you? A good while back, the Spirit of God impressed me so strongly that I needed to write my account of the life of Christ. And I have a copy of it here. And if you don't mind, I would like to read to you of those days. It's not that I didn't live them. Of course I did. But when I wrote this, it amazed me, the thoughts that came back to my mind. It was as if I could hear Jesus speaking those words. And then as I wrote them down, I just felt God's Spirit moving me along. And as I wrote, it was as if God was breathing out the words. Oh, they're my words. Yes, they're my words, and yet they're far more. So if I might, could I read what I think is God's word to you of those days? Let me find a place to begin here. Yes. It was just before the Passover feast. Peter and I had gone ahead to prepare the food and the wine and found an upper room. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." And we did. That night, as we celebrated Passover, he broke the bread. And he talked about his body being broken. And as the cup came, he said that this was his blood of a new covenant. We couldn't imagine he was talking about his crucifixion. It seemed like it was about that time that Judas made his way out to, we didn't know then, but to go and betray Christ. And we noticed that after he had gone, that it was night. And when he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." He looked at us and said, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I will tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." And again, he was speaking of his death and his resurrection, but we couldn't see it. But his words troubled us. And Jesus sensed our troubled spirits, and he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me, when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. We had seen many miracles. But after the miracle of the resurrection, it was then that we truly believed. And He told us that we would. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now. Let us leave. Walk down from that upper room down into the dark streets of Jerusalem. And we headed towards the Kinrod Valley. We had gone there many times. And as we walked through the dark streets of Jerusalem, we could see the silhouette of the temple up on its mountain with the stars behind it, silhouetting it, and the fires from the Passover sacrifices that day somehow illumined that white building and made it look as though it were red. As we walked by the front of the temple, we saw the golden vine of the symbol of Israel, that grapevine. And as we walked underneath that, Jesus said to us, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. We walked past the temple and just outside the gate, we stopped. I remember Jesus stopped and looked at us. And then he looked back at the city as if he were looking at the Romans and the Jews and all those that were now sleeping. And he looked back at us and he said, all this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I believe I am the last of the apostles to be alive. I'm so much younger than most of them, but they did not die of old age. We walked down into the valley, and as we walked, he kept talking about his going away. And we asked him about it. And he said, I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. And then Jesus' disciples said, now you were speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. You believe at last, Jesus answered. We did believe, at least on what we knew, but we did not know fully what was about to take place. Jesus went on, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And he looked back at the city again. And then he looked at us. And then he looked towards heaven. And he prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. And then he prayed for us. And then he prayed for you. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We crossed the Kidron Valley up into that olive grove that we had gone to so many times before. Jesus went off by himself to pray, and some of us fell asleep. But then later that night, we looked back across towards Jerusalem, and we could see the torches. They were in a structured order, so we knew they must be soldiers. It was the soldiers and the Pharisees coming to arrest Jesus. Then the detachment of the soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. And Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. Because I knew Nicodemus, and because of his connections, I was able to go and watch the questioning by first Annas. Annas wasn't the high priest, but people thought he was very well respected, and they treated him like the high priest. And then from Annas to the official high priest, Caiaphas, and then from there we went to the Romans, to Pilate. We couldn't go into his chamber, so we waited outside, and then Pilate came out. So Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside into his palace, and he summoned Jesus. After some time, Jesus came back out. They had put this crown-like thing on his head with the barbs, and his face was bleeding. And then when he turned his back, you could see that he had been flogged, that blood was coming through. As soon as the chief priest and their officials saw him, they shouted, crucify, crucify. But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. And the Jews insisted, we have a law. According to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. Pilate tried to free Jesus, but he seemed to fear the Jews and the Romans more than he feared God. So he handed Jesus over to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. And there they crucified him with two others, one on each side of Jesus and one in the middle. And Jesus was in the middle. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home, and she did live with me until she died. Later, knowing that all was now completed, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked up a sponge in it, and they put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. And because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started towards the tomb. They both were running. The other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and he bent over and he looked in, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, and he went into the tomb. And he saw the strips lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head, and the cloth that was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw and believed. I believed that he was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was God who became flesh and dwelt among us. I believed. And I was given eternal life. And I would not perish, but I would live with him forever. Thank you for coming. And thank you for letting me read these words of God to you. Would you like to take this scroll with you? Why don't you take this scroll with you and make copies of it so that others can read and believe? And let me pray for you as you go, and not only for this, but for all of you. Lord in heaven, may these people take your word and share it with the world so that they, the world, may believe and have everlasting life as you have given to us. Go with them, Father. Empower them. Embolden them that your word may be proclaimed through our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.